You're now listening to the Hot Take Podcast with Stephen Blake, your source for everything fantasy football. Here are your hosts, Stephen Taroni and Blake Sullivan of Roto Baller.
Welcome to the show. This is the Hot Take Podcast. I'm excited, guys. We are going to talk about the top 12 wide receivers today. It's May, and we are going on these rankings. Last week, we did the running backs. We had Bob Lung on the show, Big Guy Fantasy Sports. And we're going to keep it going. We're going to go position by position, and we're going to do the wide receivers this week. I'm joined by Blake Sullivan, of course, my co-host, my partner in crime. What's going on, Blake?
Not a whole lot, man. Summer's finally here. It's starting to warm up. So, you know, that means that all these meetings and practices are starting to come up for football. So, you know, it's time to really start ramping things up now.
And then, of course, we got Bob Harris on the show today of Football Diehards. What's going on, Bob?
Hey, not much, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Of course, dude. Yeah, you were on last year as well. So awesome to have you back on. Such a pleasure and honor to have you on. We were talking about Italy recently because you were just there. How long were you there for?
I was there for about 10, 12 days, something in that range. It was very interesting. Saw went to Rome, Florence, Cinque Terre, Venice, and Milan. So cruised all through, saw most of the, you know, in the northern part. So that leaves me southern Italy for another trip.
So I have Italian blood, you know, obviously Taroni, my last name. Do you have any in your family that you know of, or?
No, I don't think so. I mean, none that I know of, but I have enough pasta and sauce in me now to probably be considered part Italian.
That's fantastic. Yeah. So, okay, you're not like Joe Pizzapia, you know, when he comes on, we get into the, hey, how you doing and all that.
No, but he does that to me too. So or he tries to sword fight me, and I don't actually have a sword. I don't know what he's trying to do.
So, hey, Blake, we're going to talk about these top 12 wide receivers, of course, but we want to talk about the draft service that we have coming for everybody. So the FSGN Draft Pros, I'm really excited about it. I want to talk about it first. And I think, you know, we're going to offer a few different services, but the main kind of shebang here is that we're going to offer live video chat during your drafts. So you're going to go into your drafts and we're going to help you prepare for it. That's going to be offered first and foremost. And then once you get into your live draft, obviously this is going to be online. I don't think we're going to be traveling to any live drafts, but you know, maybe later down the line, Blake, we could potentially do that. But we're going to be doing online drafts where we can video chat, and we're going to guide you through your draft. So you're on the clock, you're pick 8, and we're going to be talking through it. So Blake, you want to tell the folks a little bit more about that?
Yeah, I mean, I'm just really excited to finally be able to officially talk about this and announce it. It's going to be hosted on the FSGN.com. And like you said, there's going to be a lot of services we offer, like premium lineup, waiver, and trade advice throughout the season. That's going to be a big thing for us as well, to really make it personal and not just draft for you, but we know that your team needs are going to change a lot throughout the season. So we want to make sure that you win your leagues. But like I said, we've got two draft assist services. So you can either do the video chat like Steven talked about, which I think is the best option because your draft's very fluid. Things are going to happen. It's going to be really easy for us to help you and get your opinions on things too, because we want to make sure you approve of what we're doing. But we also are going to offer a proxy service. So let's say you have kids' birthday party to go to, or you're like Bob and you're in Italy and don't have cell service. You're lucky like that, or, you know, some kind of issue where you're not able to make your draft. Instead of going on auto draft and just forfeiting your league, you can just give us your password and stuff. It'll be all secure. We'll go in and draft your team for you. And again, that'll still come with the pre-draft kind of meeting with us to get some of the things that you like. We'll talk about draft strategies that we like to use, get your inputs on that, and how we might do that to best suit your team. And then we'll also do a post-draft assessment, so we can talk about strengths and weaknesses of your team, potential trades that you want to target, and how you should go about attacking the waiver wire.
Awesome. Blake, and you want to tell everybody real quick how they can access that, and then we'll get into our top 12 wide receivers.
Yeah, so real quick, it's really easy. You'll just go on to the FSGN.com, and it'll be a tab that'll be called Draft Pros, And it's real easy. You just select that, and then you'll scroll through and see all of our great experts. Right now we have myself and Steven, along with Nathan Hamilton and Derek Brown. So we've got four really good qualified experts. And you just select the link on the expert you like, and you can find out their availability to make sure they can draft at your set time.
Awesome. Yeah, I'm really excited to do this. And then we're going to start pretty soon here. So we can do, you know, your dynasty startups and then even best ball drafts as well. Real quick, want to just say thank you to Full Time Fantasy. We just joined their podcast network over there. So Dr. Roto, Jim Daly, and all the guys, Scott Atkins, where, you know, the Hot Take is proud to be a part of it. And we're going to have a lot of exciting things for you guys moving forward for the 2019 season. All right. So let's start at number one. We're going to start at the top here. All across the board, the three of us have DeAndre Hopkins. Not a whole lot we can say about DeAndre Hopkins that hasn't been said before. He's a stud. We know that. But, you know, I think the difference in years past was always the quarterback play. Now we saw finally a full season of a competent quarterback last year. And so we know exactly what we're getting from DeAndre Hopkins.
Right. He's a guy who's had the quarterback proof card over the course of his career. He inherited that from Andre Johnson.
Right.
Teammate. And, but I mean, you're right. Deshaun Watson makes him, he can pass that along to somebody else who desperately needs it at some point here. But I, you know, if you look at the PFF numbers, last two seasons, a combined 600 and almost 50 points in PPR, the next guy behind him, Antonio Brown with 638 points. So from in 2017 and 2018. So, I guess the hope is in Texas, there's an improved offensive line. They did make some moves there in the draft, so perhaps they can improve that. Deshaun Watson was under a lot of pressure. And I guess if you're looking for, you know, possible concerns, it's the fact that maybe Will Fuller and Kiki Kuti can be healthy full season. For me, that's not a real concern. The more the merrier, I think, in this offense. I don't think Will Fuller's presence actually hurts Hopkins. I think it helps him, so looking forward to this season and just an upgraded offense in general for the Houston Texans.
That's a good point, Bob, about Will Fuller, because every time Will Fuller has a big game, it seems like, oh man, yeah, cool. You know, Will Fuller, you know, 125 yards and a touchdown. And you look over at DeAndre Hopkins and it's usually about the same, if not better, in those games. So it seems kind of like, you know, they both help each other out a lot. Blake, anything you want to add on D-Hop?
Not really. I think you guys both hit it pretty well. I think even with Fuller and QT in there, he's going to be just fine, and I think it'll actually help him too. He's going to have less coverage on him. Maybe he won't have to go for so many jump balls.
Yeah, you know, and then he's our consensus. We didn't really talk about this before the show, you know, but, you know, they're obviously guys that could be the number one wide receiver. So we're going to talk about all of these guys. You can interchange, you know, these top three, four. They're all elite talents. So for number two, you guys are in unison here with Davante Adams. So Blake, you know, you're the Green Bay Packers fan. So I want you to start us off about Davante Adams at number two and why he deserved that spot over a few of these guys.
Yeah, for me, it really just goes to what Bob Lung's been talking about when he's coming on the show. And that's going to be the consistency for me. And when you look at his numbers over his five-year career, he's improved every single year in receptions other than one year in 2017 and had a one reception reduction. But, you know, I'm not too worried about that. But 111 receptions last year, much improved. And Aaron Rodgers was not Aaron Rodgers last year. That Mike McCarthy offense looked awful at times, and he still had 13 touchdowns. He's now over 10 touchdowns in his last 3 years. I just really love that consistency. The catch percentage is over 62% in his last 3 years. So I just expect another big year from him.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. The double-digit touchdowns each of the past three seasons, no one else has done that. Hard to imagine the targets decreasing significantly from, you know, last year, 169 Aaron Rodgers locked in. I know that, you know, look, Geronimo Allison should be back. Maybe that does something. Maybe, you know, there's a change in offense. I'll grant you that. But it still runs through Aaron Rodgers. And Aaron Rodgers still looks to Davante Adams first and foremost. I don't see that changing, you know, to a degree that's going to change my outlook of him from a fantasy perspective.
Yeah. No, I can't disagree with you guys at all. Three straight years of touchdowns. You know you're getting double-digit touchdowns from Davante Adams. I have nothing bad to say about D. Adams. The only weird news I've heard recently is that he's going to be in the slot more. I don't think that should deter fantasy owners from drafting him at all.
Probably a positive, right? I mean, look, I mean, you're seeing that more and more. The guys, the big slot players, right. You know, because it creates some mismatches. It started with Bruce Arians moving Larry Fitzgerald in, but we've seen it more recently. Guys like Adam Thielen just destroying people out of the slot because it's they're generally a physical mismatch for whoever's covering them. So I'm all for that.
Yeah, 100%. So Devontae Adams, 111 receptions, over 1,300 yards. So he got over that 100 reception mark and 1,000 yard mark for the first time in his career. You know, it's wheels up for Devontae Adams, who is an elite wide receiver in the NFL. My number two is Julio Jones. And like I said, you could, you know, mix around these guys all you want. What I'm doing with Julio Jones is kind of just making a statement that, look, he is still one of the best receivers in the league. He's a top three receiver. I mean, 1,600 yards last year, 1,676 yards, 113 receptions, and then 8 touchdowns. So you finally got a decent touchdown number from Julio Jones, which was always his Achilles heel for, you know, a few years there. You know, you're not going to get the double-digit touchdowns from Julio, and that would be the one argument you could make for Devontae over Julio, I think. You know, especially when you have Devontae Freeman coming back, I think that the Falcons are going to be in a better situation for their football team where they're going to be able to run the ball a little bit more. They got a healthy offensive line. So all of that could actually be a negative for Julio Jones. But I have him at number two because I think he's going to be consistent again. He's going to be over that 100 reception mark again. They funnel targets to Julio no matter what they want to do in Atlanta. So I'm still banking on Julio to have a similar output in fantasy as he did last season.
Right. That seems reasonable. And you know, the happy part is you don't have to worry about touchdown regression because he doesn't score enough to regress. But you could expect positive growth in that number just because it's been so low. I think the other thing that I like, and I have him third, you know, and like you're right, all these guys, I think all the top three for sure are interchangeable pretty much, maybe even you could go to four. And then it starts, you know, you could have some questions. But I think the thing about Jones that is worth noting is Dirk Cutter returns as offensive coordinator, replaces Steve Sarkisian. If you look back to his last stint, and Cutter was there in, what, 2012 to 2014, right. Matt Ryan excelled, completed almost 67% of his passes. Had 86 touchdowns versus 45 interceptions under Cutter, named to the Pro Bowl two of those years, led the Falcons to the NFC Championship. And so, you know, those numbers are notably higher over what he did under Sarkisian. So that gives you a little optimism for the upside there.
Yeah, so moving on to number three, he's like you said, Bob, and so Julio is your number three. My number three is Odell Beckham Jr. And, you know, we're talking about the quarterback play for DeAndre Hopkins, how it was so bad in 2016, where he just, you know, you thought, man, I wasted a pick on DeAndre Hopkins. We kind of felt that way with Odell Beckham, but he was always producing with Eli for, you know, even last year when he was healthy. So now he steps into a situation where he has Baker Mayfield, and I'm telling you, I'm expecting over 150 targets for Odell Beckham Jr. in 2019. And if I can expect over 150 targets, I have to expect the kind of production that he put up for the first 3 years of his career, which was double-digit touchdowns, over 1,300 yards, and then around 100 receptions. I think he's going to be able to do that. And if he does, then he's a top three wide receiver for me in 2019. You know, they brought him in for a reason, and now he has – you know, the best quarterback he's had, as far as I'm concerned, from a fantasy perspective. You know, Baker's going to come in here and he's going to be throwing the ball. Yes, they want to run in Cleveland. You know, you saw it a lot last year, but I really think that he's going to get those 150 targets and it'll make him an elite receiver again in the NFL.
Yeah, his deep completion percentage it was phenomenal last year, 69%. 10th best, but he was 5th best on deep completion. So he's notably better on the longer passes. And that kind of plays into that Odell Beckham fellow's hands, right? I mean, and I think Matthew Berry had some numbers on that. I think it's with receivers with over 350 catches, Beckham has the highest scoring rate, 11.3%. Mayfield just broke the rookie passing touchdown record. So it's a good situation, right? He's got to stay healthy, and that's always been a bit of a concern for Beckham.
Blake, anything to add on Odell Beckham? I'm not sure where you have him ranked.
Yeah, so I have him low. I think am I the lowest of the group? No, me and Bob actually have him. Yeah, we actually have him in the same spot here. I think the upside for Odell is huge, but there's no way I'm going to be drafting him as a top three just because there is concern with the injuries and being in a new offense. I really think that he could be the best receiver in that offense. That could be with that offense, he could be the best receiver in the league this year is what I'm trying to say. Playing along with Jarvis Landry, I think it's going to be really fun to watch, but you know, there is concern with injury and how is he going to adapt. So right. I'm going to have him lower.
A little bit. Bob Lung would be worried about the consistency, right, just of the offense in general. We haven't seen it over an extended period. And Freddie Kitchens comes in. Granted, we like what they did with Kitchens as the play caller. And look, I like the offensive coordinator he brought in as well, Todd Monken, the Mad Monken, who was calling plays early last year when Ryan Fitzpatrick was going nuts. Hey, so, I mean, you know, there's something there as well. But I think, you know, for me, that's why he's, you know, down to number five. And I think the four guys ahead of him, and I have Michael Thomas in there. I'm sure we'll talk about him at number four is, you know, the consistency of production over time. I prefer that.
Yeah. I think that we can maybe see, you know, we're banking on, you know, the unknown with this offense in general. And, you know, that was a risk that we had to take last year with the Kansas City Chiefs offense too. We didn't know what to expect from Patrick Mahomes. You know, so you were kind of, it was a dart throw in a way, you know, you were drafting him in the 11th round and, you know, kind of just hoping that Travis Kelce could be an elite receiver with him. And, you know, we felt good about that, but there was a lot of unknown. So there's unknown here in this, with this offense right now. We did see the glimpse of greatness from Baker Mayfield, and he has by no means proven any consistency over a long duration of time. So the jury is still out if he can maintain a wide receiver one in the NFL.
Right. There's a thing I like to call the optimism of the unknown in fantasy football. And you know, when you know what other guys are, you don't know exactly. I mean, we, you know, exactly what you said. There's plenty of reasons to believe there's upside here. It's just not demonstrated upside other than, you know, we have a narrow sample on Baker Mayfield. We have a narrow sample of Freddie Kitchens as a play caller. And now he's the head coach, so there's changes there. Look, I think everything's in place for a huge season. And I've certainly have many shares of Odell Beckham. It's just that, you know, that's what we're banking on, a little bit of the unknown.
Exactly, which, you know, you have to take calculated risk in fantasy football, obviously. I just love the way this is kind of shaping up because you got, you know, these guys we're talking about, Julio Jones, his, you know, on fantasy football calculator, his average, his ADP in half point PPR scoring is 111. And then you got OBJ at 203. So you can easily just go Julio, OBJ, just like you did last year. Unfortunately, it didn't work out because OBJ went down with an injury, but had he stayed healthy, of course, it really did work out for you. So that's just a great way to go again in this year's draft. So, Blake, you have Michael Thomas as your third receiver. So you're the highest on Michael Thomas of everybody. I love me some Michael Thomas. I'm disrespecting him this year, but tell me why he's third overall for you.
Yeah, I honestly do see some regression. It's hard not to see some regression this year, but when you look at the last 3 years, 92, 104, and 125 receptions. If you're in any kind of 0.5 or full PPR kind of league, you're really going to like those numbers. Over 1,100 yards all 3 years. He only had 5 touchdowns in his second year, which is a little bit concerning, but 9 in both of the other seasons. I think you see the touchdown number go up a little bit this year and the targets and the receptions come down a little bit. But expect that yards to be, you know, around 1,300 to 1,400 again. I think he's still going to just be a monster. And I like his consistency too. Versus a guy like OBJ, I feel like I can just trust Thomas a little bit more.
I think the only reason he isn't in the, you know, he isn't in the conversation for number one for me is, you know, last year, the first time in a decade, Drew Brees didn't top 500 attempts or 4,000 yards. So, I mean, and they seem to, you know, they're playing a little better defense, right? And that's something we need to take into account. You know, with some of these receivers, not necessarily the higher end guys, but, you know, you kind of like it when the other team's putting up points as fast as the team your guy is on are putting up points. So they have to keep putting up points. That hasn't been as much the case with the Saints. They've been able to run the ball super effectively, and I think that's been a bit of an issue. Maybe, you know, with some developing guys alongside him, the addition of Jared Cook, maybe they can, you know, that fosters the passing game to a little greater degree. Maybe Mark Ingram being gone. Although I think Latavius Murray's kind of a, you know, a plug-and-play guy in that kind of between-the-tackles role. I still, you know, that's my concern. That I think that's the only thing you could say is a potential drawback for Michael Thomas.
Yeah, and, you know, 9 touchdowns last season, you know, maybe you would have liked that in the double digits, but I think you're fine there. 1,400 yards, you know, that's what you wanted. All of these numbers I'm looking at, 125 receptions, it just looks as if there could be regression. I mean, it looks like that was the most you could – not the most you could get.
It was a little spiky, right? I mean, that's a bit of a concern, too, if you're looking for consistent, even production.
Well, it seemed like a lot of times last year he was just the only guy to throw to. I mean, you know, now that you're adding Jared Cook, Ted Ginn is going to be back. I'm not saying these guys are world beaters, but at least they're people. I mean, I'm talking about, like, last year for the Saints, who was their tight end that could really be relied upon in the passing game? You know, who was their wide receiver two for most of the season? It was a rookie. So now you got Ted Ginn coming back. Not sure if Cameron Meredith is going to be healthy or even still on the roster, to be honest with you. But if, you know, someone like that, it seems as if there could be regression for Michael Thomas. Real quick, Bob, more likely to be the wide receiver one overall, Michael Thomas or Odell Beckham?
Michael Thomas for me. Look, the upside is there for Beckham, but I mean, he has to stay on the field, and that offense has to be everything we expect it to be. You know, I think it will be. I know the Saints will be.
Blake, what do you say to that?
Yeah, I'm going to say Michael Thomas too, because just mainly to the point that you brought up the other receivers that they had there available. At the beginning of the year when those guys were healthy is when you saw Michael Thomas really striving, averaging about 12 receptions a game. And then after some of those guys went down with injuries and some of those rookies came up, that's when you started seeing his production starting to slide. So if the team could stay healthy around him and those additions of Jared Cook and Ted Ginn coming back, I really like his upside through the rest of the season too.
All right. So Bob, you have Michael Thomas as your 4, Odell Beckham number 5. Blake, you have Julio Jones down there at 4, and I can see that with Michael Thomas being your 3. That makes sense. OBJ, both of your 5th wide receiver overall. And then we get into number 6 here, guys. But actually, before we get into that, my number 5, because we've already talked about your guys' number 5, my number 5 is Mike Evans, and I know that that is a bold take. But I have Mike Evans at number 5. He was wide receiver 6 last year. And what I really like about Evans is that, first of all, you can get him at the end of the 2nd round and beginning of the 3rd round every season, it seems like. He's just there for the taking. But what I really like about him is his average depth per target. 15.7 yards per target last season. And that was tops in the league besides guys like DeSean Jackson, who had 18, of course, on the same offense. Guys like Robbie Anderson also had 15.7. John Brown was over the 16 yards per target. So, you know, he's an elite receiver talking about. He's in the conversation with all the guys we're talking about right now, but he is out there more often on the deep ball. And that really showed last year with his career high, 1,524 yards. So the argument there, of course, is that he's not a 1,500-yard receiver, and I don't believe he is. But what I do believe he is he's a double-digit touchdown scorer. And he only had 6 red zone targets last year. I mean, that is ridiculous. 6 targets. So, you know, obviously, you know, Mike Evans is a great red zone receiver. He's had years of 12 touchdown scoring. So this year you can't really, you know, predict touchdowns. But what I'm saying is there's going to be regression in the yards. I do believe that. But I think with a full season of Jameis Winston with Bruce Arians coming in and making this a high powered offense, I think these targets are going to funnel to Chris Godwin on the other side, who we're going to talk about next week in our wide receiver 2 episode. Blake, you know, I'm ready for that. And Mike Evans on the other side. So I'm really seeing that happen. I'm going to draft him in most cases. And the thing is, you don't have to draft him as a wide receiver 5. You're going to draft him as a wide receiver 8.
Yeah, that's where I list them. But I'm just going to go ahead and jump in here because I think, you know, my 6, 7, and 8 are really 6.2, 6.5, and 6.75, right? I mean, all these guys are viable. And for the reasons you said on Evans, you know, coming off the career best per reception, 17.7. The target shares, you know, was a little bit of concern last year. It fell off. He had been as high as, I think, over 30.
Right.
2015 or 30% in 2015, 31% in 2016 as I'm looking here. So the usage has declined of 24% in 2017 with a career low, 23% last season. So I think, you know, if all the talk about Chris Godwin, who I can't wait to hear what you have to say about him, maybe a guy that benefits from that Bruce Arians slot treatment, you know, I mean, he's in, maybe Bruce Arians figures out that O.J. Howard is a viable piece in his
yes.
And not an offensive tackle, but an actual receiving threat. So all those things are going to be worth watching. And Jameis Winston has to be consistent. But I could see him. You know, I have him at 8, as you said. You know, he's in that range. But certainly we're splitting hairs amongst this group. I think once I get past my top 5, I think, pretty much any order would not surprise me.
So, you know, last season we had Adam Humphries and DeSean Jackson. They're gone. That's 174 targets gone. Now, I think you're right, Bob, that O.J. Howard is going to get some of those targets. And then, of course, Chris Godwin is going to require those targets. But how many can we really project for Chris Godwin? I'm thinking
maybe 100.
Yeah, about 100, right? You know, and then maybe about the same.
Of course, Arians thinks he could get 100 catches. So right. There's that's that. True. But, that's you know.
True. He did say that. He did say it. So, but the point is, you know, like you're onto something. 139 targets for Mike Evans last year. So we've seen him in that 145. He's had 145 before, and he had 171, which was kind of an outlier year. But I'm thinking it's going to be in that 145 to 155 range. Not anything crazy. We're not saying a huge. You know, it's going to be around the same. I think he's going to get just enough more to be more involved, a little bit higher in his fantasy finish. Blake, do you have anything to add on Mike Evans or maybe this Tampa Bay offense?
Yeah, I mean, I have him the lowest at 10, and it's no disrespect to Mike Evans. I think he has that upside to be in the top 4 or 5 range. And really the thing, if you look at the numbers, he's not that much different numbers-wise from Devontae Adams. The only problem is his catch percentage is so low. So even though they're getting similar amounts of targets, his receptions are lower. Even though their yards are about the same, and his touchdowns really aren't that far off of Adams either. So, you know, the thing for me, and Mike Evans is still young. He's 25. But I just don't see –
catch percentage improved last year. You know, I don't know if it's where we want it to be, but it was better. What was he at, 60 or so? So,
yeah, right, yeah. I mean,
that's 62%. Tied to the quarterback for sure.
Yeah.
I mean, that's, you know, I mean, so that's the difference of Aaron Rodgers and Jameis Winston right there.
Right, and he didn't have Winston for a few years, for a few weeks, which was nice. That helped him out a little bit too, probably.
I think it did. I think it definitely helped his catch percentage. But you know, that target distribution was actually a testament to Ryan.
I think they balanced out a little bit. He probably lost a few targets having Fitzpatrick in there, but gained some on the catch percentage. But the thing for me is, I don't see regression coming, but I just don't see enough room for improvement either. So I'm going to kind of draft him where he's performed the last few years. So I could take him at an 8 spot or something like that, but I think you're going to get a better value if you can hold off on him until about that 10th wide receiver.
Yeah, and it's not unusual to see him. I mean, I'm seeing him go anywhere in that range there. It just kind of depends on the people's you're drafting with their personal preference.
100%. Yep. And that's the same every year with Mike Evans. It's that end of the second, early third. You know, if you can get him as your wide receiver too, I think you're doing pretty good for yourself. So I have Michael Thomas at 6. Like I said, I'm low on him. But then we get into Juju Smith-Schuster and Antonio Brown in all three of our rankings. I mean, they're both like back-to-back.
Right.
So we got to talk about Juju Smith-Schuster and Antonio Brown and why they're so comparable. But, Bob, start me off here because you have Juju Smith-Schuster at number 6, and I think that's the highest of all of us. Talk to me about Juju.
Right. This could easily change as the season draws nearer. But, you know, and here's another guy that benefited from working a lot out of the slot. Maybe that, you know, just moving more outside hurts him a little bit there. Or maybe they figure out ways to keep him in the slot. I think he had He's ranked third in first downs and touchdowns out of the slot, fifth in yards per route out of the slot. So he's pretty damn good working there. But I think the thing between him and Antonio Brown is, you know, Juju Smith-Schuster is going to get those number one targets. It's been fairly high end, according to Antonio Brown, the last few years. And the question is, do you trust that he can handle that number one role being, you know, and drawing that number one coverage without Antonio Brown opposite him? You know, so, and I'm guessing he can. Look, so when you look back to like last year, let's say you mentioned Patrick Mahomes, when the Chiefs moved on and you trade, when you're in the NFL, you trade away a guy, a quarterback who takes you to the playoffs.
Right.
You're doing, that's telling me something, right? You're telling me you have a lot of confidence in the guy that's left behind, because there's not even 32 quarterbacks in the NFL. There are certainly not, you know, 32 Antonio Brown level wide receivers either. But I mean, just allowing that number one to get away, you know, and not trying to work through the difficulties, but just saying, ah, to hell with it.
Well, what did the Steelers do with Mike Wallace? What did they do with Emmanuel Sanders?
Right, and that's what they do, and guys step up, and they do have a good reputation for developing wide receivers. So, look, I wouldn't argue anyone taking Antonio Brown ahead of Juju Smith-Schuster, or taking one of the guys we have after him, Mike Evans, or any number of guys, just trying to avoid the situation. For me, the concern about, you know, Smith-Schuster is going to be what everyone else's concern is. And first of all, let's say, I mean, I don't think the Steelers want Ben Roethlisberger throwing, what, 675 passes again.
Right. So
there's that. But, I mean, I think he's proven himself over two seasons, certainly did last year, 111 catches. The receiving yards were high. The scoring is high. I'm going to go ahead and go with him, slight lean over Antonio Brown, just because I think the quarterback situation and the offensive stability is a little better. Offensive line is good. We know what the ground game is going to be. I'm not dissing Antonio Brown. I'm not even dissing Derek Carr. I mean, I think it's easy to forget Derek Carr's first two seasons. I think only Dan Marino has thrown more touchdowns over the first two seasons of a career than Derek Carr. I think it was like 68 to 54 or something. That's more, though, than like Peyton Manning. That's more, you know, more than a lot of guys, right, over the first 2 years. So it's not like
Derek Carr gets destroyed in fantasy football community. He gets destroyed.
He needs protection, and he needs some downfield threats. I think he obviously has at least half of that now, and I think the offensive line should be a little better. So, you know, this is not to diss Antonio Brown. I just, if you look over time at John Gruden's, you know, number one receiver as a head coach, it's a little bit, you know, mix the target share, and it's there's seasons where it's not that high, and we'll see. I mean, I know he realizes he needs to feed Antonio Brown, or he's going to have an unhappy Antonio Brown.
Yeah, nobody
but
wants
if you expect
that.
Brown to average the 11 targets per game he did from 2013 to 2018. I don't know if you're going to get that for Brown.
Yeah, and you know, I have AB at 7. I have Juju at 8. And you know, look, they're either one, and they're both going around the same, you know, in the draft. Most of the time, Juju is going before AB. I haven't seen AB drafted ahead of Juju yet. And then sometimes even people are so down on Antonio Brown that he gets into the third round. So if that happens for you in your draft, I think you should be looking for that to see if he does slip.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
So, you know, big thing with AB is kind of that unknown we're talking about, obviously. Same sort of thing with Juju. You know, they're in similar spots this year. So the one thing that you brought up, Bob, is that I don't think that they want Ben Roethlisberger throwing as much. And the big reason why they don't want him throwing as much is simply because he doesn't have two great receivers on the field. He has one. So the reason why, you know, both Antonio Brown and Juju Smith-Schuster acquired 160 targets plus each is because how great they are. You know, you're not going to see James Washington get 160 targets. You're not going to see any of these guys, Dante Moncrief, get anywhere around that, 100 targets even. So they want to get James Conner the ball. They want to use Jalen Samuels. So that's kind of a thing that I have going against Juju for the AB argument. I think that, you know, there's going to be times next year where we're going to see a frustrated Antonio Brown. I think that's going to be just like, that's one of the things that you could just say is a guarantee. Like, you know, what's the over under on how many times he gets frustrated with Derek Carr and John Gruden not giving him the ball enough. So that's, you know, in the negative for AB as well.
Right. But, who else can see Randy Moss sitting on bench with his feet kicked out and a disgusted look on his face in Oakland uniform? I mean, I'm not saying it's going to be like that because I doubt it will be, but you're right. I mean, he was frustrated enough in Pittsburgh and he was getting all the work. So there you have it.
Exactly. You know, so I don't think that Antonio Brown is going to touch that 15 touchdowns he got last year, but he's going to be around 10, you know, so, and he's going to give you around 140 to 150 targets and 100 receptions and over, you know, 1,400 yards. Blake, how are you feeling about the AB Juju dilemma?
Well, I think the way I'm approaching it is that there's one known in this whole equation, and that is Antonio Brown. You look at his production over the last 6 years, it's just been ridiculous. Over 100 receptions all those years, you know, and right, like you said, right around 10 touchdowns probably. And he's been over 1,200 yards in all six of those years. So you're getting a very consistent player, albeit he had one quarterback during that time who's probably a little bit better than Derek Carr. But, you know, John Gruden wants to protect himself in this situation. We've talked about, you know, kind of the narrative that he traded away Mac, you know, all this stuff's going on. And then he brings in a big guy like this, spent a lot of money to bring in Antonio Brown too. So he's going to want to get him the ball and make it look like he made a good business decision. So yeah, I'm sure you're going to see Antonio Brown frustrated a little bit, maybe with the quality of throws that Derek Carr's providing him, but I don't think you're going to worry too much about the target number. Obviously, it's not going to be quite what Big Ben was giving him, but I think he can be around 150 targets, and he should be still around that 100 reception range. It might be tough to get him over that 100 mark, but you know he's still going to be 1,200 yards, 10 touchdowns. I don't think you need to worry much, but when you're looking at Juju, he's had Antonio Brown along his side this whole time. The defense has kind of had to roll the dice as to which one they wanted to focus on more, and oftentimes they both had big games because they just couldn't contain two guys. But now it's going to be a little bit easier for defenses to just contain Juju and not have to worry about those other weapons as much.
Right. I'll just argue the constant maybe it's Ben Roethlisberger, though.
Right.
You know, I mean, and that's the thing. Whenever I see someone force their way out of a situation or move on a high-priced deal to a new team, you know, my first thought is always, well, there's a reason you were in that position to garner that big contract or make that move to leverage your, you know, your body of work. And part of that is the team you were on. And I mean, maybe some of that with Antonio Brown had something to do with Ben Roethlisberger. And maybe some of it in recent years had something to do with Le'Veon Bell's presence or a strong rushing attack, if, you know, if not Bell. So, you know, well, there's enough questions for all these guys, which is why they're not inside our top five, right?
Exactly. Yep. And, you know, so now we're getting into, you know, we all have different rankings for each of these guys. So, Blake, talk to me a little bit, you know, about your number eight, T.Y. Hilton, who I love, because last week I said that, you know, I think the Colts are a top three offense in the league right now with all the weapons they have. So talk to me about T.Y. Hilton.
Yeah, I think T.Y. Hilton's just one of those guys that has room to improve. And that's why he's kind of made that jump for me. You know, his reception numbers just haven't quite been there around that 70 to 80 mark every year, but he's still over 1,000 yards in almost every one of those seasons. And, you know, five or six touchdowns isn't great, but if you start seeing those receptions pushing 90 and 100, I think you're also going to see that touchdown number rising up to 10 or 11. And, you know, he's had a fair amount of time with Andrew Luck, but nothing real solid. You know, I think if he has a full season with Andrew Luck, full health, we're finally seeing that. And last year, his receptions were up, his yards were up, touchdowns were up. His catch percentage was way up. He went from 52 to 63%. So, you know, having other guys on that team too, like Eric Ebron and Marlon Mack, that really can carry the load, I think you could see T.Y. Hilton get some of those bigger plays down the field. And, you know, I think it could be a bigger season for him. He went to 10.6 yards per target off of 8.9 from previous year. So maybe that number goes up again this year, maybe to 12.
Yeah, the thing that, you know, is the concern, and both, but could be a positive as well. I mean, the final 6 weeks last season, including the playoffs, he had high and low sprains in the same ankle. Didn't practice at all, still put up huge numbers. I think it was like 32 catches, 628 yards over that six-game stretch. So he has that upside, and we know playing with Andrew Luck is a great thing. I think the Colts would like to run a little more. They brought in Devin Funchess. I don't know if that's going to make a huge difference. Paris Campbell, you know, will make some difference. But look, Hilton, for me, is number 10. I could make easy arguments for him at number 9 because I have A.J. Green there, and, you know, there are certainly enough question marks there as well. So in terms of health. So, you know, I have no qualms with him in this range. I think that's where he belongs. But there are reasons to be a little bit wary, and there's, again, reasons why he's not in the top 5.
Yeah, yeah. I think this whole episode, we're just like trying to justify like one or two spots when it really
split it, right? I mean, but that's what we do. So, yeah, exactly. You know, and those are the things you look at. I mean, I think Andrew Luck to me looks like he's playing as well as anybody right now. That offensive line, you know, suddenly emerging as one of the best units in the league, which it hasn't always been. There are some great complementary weapons. Frank Reich's gone tight end heavy, you know, in terms of the plays called, the targeted. You know, the pass is targeted that way, and none of that is, you know, none of that is, seems like it has an impact on Hilton any more than his own health or poor health does.
I think the point to take away from this, you know, that Blake has him the highest of the three of us at 8. You know, Bob, I think you have him at 10, right?
I do, yeah.
Okay, and he's not on my top 12, but he's right there at 13 for me. You know, the thing to take away from it is you're not going to have to draft him at, you know, wide receiver. Right. You're going to get him in the third round. So if there's that chance that he could be the wide receiver 8 overall, which there is, why not get him on your team? Really excited about to talk about our number 9 wide receiver, and that's me and Bob. We both have A.J. Green at number 9. A.J. Green in the 9 games, really it was 8 games that he played because the 9th game he was injured. In the 8 games that he played, he was actually the wide receiver 7 last year.
Right.
Because in 8 games, he had 6 touchdowns and 694 yards. They were clicking, and a big part of that actually was Tyler Boyd, the emergence of Joe Mixon. They were actually clicking, and then once A.J. Green went down, it kind of crumbled for the Cincinnati Bengals. Are you kind of buying what I'm selling for A.J. Green right now, Bob?
A little bit, yeah. I mean, the big thing is Zach Taylor knows Sean McVay, and we all know what that means. Offense, offense, offense. No, look, I think improved offensive line play. Look, Bobby Hart's not on the starting lineup anymore. That alone.
Yeah.
But beyond that, I mean, you know, we've seen Andy Dalton, you know, and I always make the same stupid joke. He's either the red rifle or the redheaded stepchild. You don't know who's showing up. But when A.J. Green's on the field, it's a lot more likely to be the rifle, right? So – and every time I try to dismiss, you know, A.J. Green, he goes out and scores 3 touchdowns in a primetime game. So, you know, or whatever. So, I think he's still a very good player. He is getting older. The offense is changing. There's a lot of reasons to avoid him if you're at all leery and you want to play it super safe. I don't know that he's a super safe play, but I think there's plenty of upside there as you laid it out. I think, you know, when he was on the field, that whole offense was better.
Yeah, let's kind of talk about the last 3 guys here. So, Bob, you have T.Y. Hilton at 10. You have Keenan Allen at 11. And then you have Amari Cooper at 12. So I'm going to talk a little bit about Amari in a little bit. But talk to me about Keenan Allen and why he's down there at wide receiver 11. I think, Blake, you have him at wide receiver 12. I have him at wide receiver 10. So we're all feeling kind of the same way about Keenan Allen.
Yeah, he's caught 68% of his targets over his career, averaged better than 12 yards per catch each of the past 2 seasons. So if you like consistency, somewhere Bob Long is fist pumping, right? So Mike Williams comes in, should be a little help. Hunter Henry comes back, would be a little bit help, but it doesn't matter. I mean, you look at that playoff game against Baltimore last year. I mean, they could not stop him. Granted, they should have probably tried to cover him, but they could not stop him. Phillip Rivers is locked in on him. You know, the catch totals are high. The snap totals are high. Runs, I think Mike Clay had him at 91% of the teams running around on 91% of the team's pass plays and a 28% target share last week. That's, I mean, it's amazing. And he's staying healthier lately. So I just don't think – I want a piece of that offense.
Yes.
If I'm leery of Melvin Gordon, you know, and he's going a little bit earlier than I'm always comfortable taking him. I think Keenan Allen is lasting a little longer than I think people should be letting him last, so I'm really comfortable taking him. Certainly as my wide receiver one if I go other positions earlier.
Yeah, he's going off the board according to the Fantasy Football Calculator, the 304. That's really good value on Keenan Allen, any way you slice it, no matter what you think of him. He's wide receiver one. I just think that it's most likely he's a wide receiver. He's a back-end wide receiver one. Do you guys think that every time that Bob Lung hears the name Keenan Allen, he actually does fist pump?
I think he does. I'll guarantee you he does.
It's like the Tiger Woods, like every time. Like Keenan Allen, oh, yeah. Like. So Blake, your number nine is, where are you at here? You're Adam Thielen. You got, Mike Evans down at 10, Brandon Cooks at 11. And then we talked about Keenan Allen at 12. Talk to me about Brandon Cooks. You know, obviously in a highly potent offense, in LA, but you know, that's a hot take for sure that he's a wide receiver one.
Yeah, it's definitely a hot take. And I mean, I don't know. He might not quite end up there. But you look at his numbers, and the receptions are modest, you know, going to be around 75 to 85. He's going to get you over 1,000 yards, and his touchdown upside is basically 10, but he's probably going to be around 7 or 8, as history would show. But you got to think, too, he's been on three different teams in his already short career, so maybe now he'll be settling into L.A. But the big factor for me is while everybody's freaking out about what's Todd Gurley going to be like this year, what's this team going to look like, the big consistency thing for me is look at Brandon Cooks. He's there. He's healthy. You've got Todd Gurley, who might not be healthy. You've got Cooper Kupp, who might not be healthy. But that offense is still going to be high-powered, and that defense is going to keep them on offense a lot of times as well. So that ball is going to have to go somewhere. And right now it looks like it's going to be Brandon Cooks.
I love that, you know, the very underrated part of how we view the Rams offense is the Rams defense, because they're going to be on the field a lot. Like you said, that defense is shuts down their opponents.
Sean McVay knows Sean McVay better than Zach Taylor does. That's always a plus, too.
That is a plus. Nobody knows Sean McVay like Sean McVay. And that, you know, another plus is that he's not Jeff Fisher. That's always
I think my only concern with they don't really want to have a wide receiver one. If you talk to everyone who covers that team or talk to people on that team, they'll tell you there is no wide receiver one there. It's going to be the guy that's open. I think there's going to be weeks where Robert Woods to me is right in this same conversation. Cooper Kupp will be, you know, depending on how fast he rebounds and regains his chemistry with Jared Goff, is going to be a viable play too. So there's three pretty high-end guys there, and I think they'll all be productive. I just don't know if it doesn't put a little bit of a lower ceiling on all of them.
So let's get into our, you know, our plus one, if you will, here. We want to talk about one guy in our wide receiver two range that we think is going to really show out in 2019. Blake, I'm loving yours. I want you to talk to me about your boy, Calvin Ridley.
Yeah, you know, so I was trying to think of some guys. Obviously, you took mine. We'll get into that in a little bit. Bob's got a really great one. You know, I was looking at guys like Julian Edelman, who I thought could – you know, he could have a good year being the main option there. That seems a little mainstream. And then Tyreek Hill, yeah, of course, he's going to be a wide receiver one if he's not suspended. But we just kind of threw him out of this conversation. So my plus one's Calvin Ridley. The numbers last year were really good for a rookie season. He had 64 receptions, 821 yards. But the big thing I liked was 10 touchdowns. So you're going to get a guy that's going to make up for Julio Jones's lack of touchdowns. But yet he's still getting a fair share. He had 92 targets, so it's not like he's just the red zone threat. 69% catch percentage as a rookie. I really like that. And I think this offense is just going to continue to be high-powered, especially with Devontae Freeman, who's going to keep picking up first downs for them.
I think you know, as I made the case, if you think this offense is going to continue to get good, but Ridley plays into Matt Ryan's strengths. He's that precise route runner. He's a guy that does all the things that Matt Ryan likes. So I kind of like that about him as well.
Yeah. And, you know, we're talking about similar guys here in my next guy, Amari Cooper, in that, you know, they're kind of boom or bust. You know, if Bob Lung is fist pumping for Keenan Allen, I don't know what he's doing when he talks about Amari Cooper.
maybe pulling out whatever hair he has on his head. But Amari Cooper, obviously the difference in, you know, a Calvin Ridley is that he, or I'm sorry, actually a Brandon Cooks, you know, going into, because, you know, you got Brandon Cooks and Amari Cooper who have always been the boom or bust guys. But the difference now is that the Cowboys have said, you are our wide receiver one, Amari Cooper, where the Rams kind of, you know, they have three wide receiver ones almost. Amari Cooper is going to have targets funneled to him. He's going to stay afloat. So, you know, in 9 games last season for the Cowboys, he had 76 targets. So, you know, you're going to get close to that 130, 140 targets, exactly what he had when he was an Oakland Raider, when he was a high-end wide receiver two, of course. So he was like, you know, wide receiver 14 in that range. So I'm thinking he's going to finish around there. But the big play potential of Amari Cooper, the unknown, the optimistic unknown. You like that, Bob?
I do.
The optimistic unknown of him going into, you know, a full season as Dak Prescott's wide receiver one. I'm thinking that he has a great chance of going into that top 12, that top 10 range.
I'm not going to argue with you. And I will say, just for the record, Bob Lung has a fantastic head of hair in addition to being very into the consistency. Whereas like Joe Pisapia and myself, not so much, although Pisapia is the master with the pointy weapons. So he has that going for him. But Lung, great head of hair.
That's good. That's good. Yeah. No, Bob Lung, good friend of the show for sure. You know, you do have Amari Cooper at your wide receiver 12, so you definitely believe that he could finish as a wide receiver one. So I do appreciate that. Bob, I want to thank you so much for coming on the show, man. It's been an awesome time talking about wide receivers with you. First, just tell the folks what you got coming up for them. I know that you're a busy guy around this time. And then, of course, talk to me about your plus one.
Yeah, we'll have the working right now on the Fantasy Sports Publications magazines. We have 4 of them. The Fantasy Football Pro Forecast will be the first one. And that's our 30th anniversary edition. So proud of that. Been doing this for a while. Also have the Fantasy Football Draft Book, Cheat Sheets, and Football Diehards magazines. We're working on kind of all at the same time. So that keeps me pretty occupied. Still do the Sirius show right now. It's every Saturday night from 7 to 10. Eastern in July, we'll bump back up to every day, every weekday. Once the season starts, it'll be 7 days a week. There will be no escape. So those are the things. And, of course, footballdiehards.com website goes all year round. So you can check that out at any time. And my plus one is you asked for a hot take. You're going to get one.
Yes.
Injury agnostic is what I profess to be. And this take stretches that to the limits, right? So Sammy Watkins, and look, we all know why. I mean, and I've seen him going a lot earlier in drafts as we go along. Injuries have been a bugaboo for him, hard to beat him, but you can go back to like his 2015 season playing with Tyrod Taylor. You'd have been hard-pressed to find a better receiver over the final 9 weeks of the season in the NFL. Caught 49 passes, 900 yards, 7 touchdowns. Had over 100 yards receiving in 5 of those final 9 games. Over 80 yards receiving in the final 6 games of the season. Average 17.5 yards a season with Tyrod Taylor. Did I mention that?
Hey, Hot Rod Ty, man.
So here we go. So now he's playing with his kid, Pat Mahomes. They say he's really good. And he did, you know, so we get caught up in what we saw Travis Kelce do. We got caught up in what we saw Tyreek Hill do. It's easy to forget what Sammy Watkins did. Career best catch rate, 72%, reached 100 yards in 3 games, started and finished in 10 of them, counting the playoffs, averaged almost 70 yards a game in those games. That would be a 1,000-yard season if he plays 15 games, which he did in 2017. So there you go. The target shares have been high when he's on the field. Again, Mike Clay noted that he averaged 21% target share during the 10 games he was on the field. And that's only 4 fewer targets than Tyreek Hill had in those same games. So look, and then during those weeks, he was the number 16 scoring wideout. Some of this is obviously based on the fact that Tyreek Hill probably not going to be around all year. I think that's a safe bet, and we'll leave that conversation for, you know, what that should be or shouldn't be. But let's assume that he misses half the season. Someone's going to get a hell of a lot of targets. If Sammy Watkins is on the field, to me, He's a proven he can be a bona fide wide receiver one at the NFL level. Playing with Patrick Mahomes adds to that, and alongside Travis Kelce does not hurt. Strong rushing attack, which they always have in Kansas City, or at least a strong backfield presence. So, yeah, it's a little bit of a reach, but I think you want to hook yourself to the Mahomes wagon, and if Tyreek Hill isn't the guy you can hook yourself to, Watkins could be.
Yeah, I mean, look, if he plays 16 games, Tyreek Hill isn't there. He's playing 16 games with Patrick Mahomes. I mean, it just screams upside. So he's climbing up the ADP. We're seeing it. I want Sammy Watkins to be that kind of guy. I've always thought that he was a prototypical wide receiver one in the NFL. He really has a great opportunity in this offense. So I'm excited.
Right. And look, we've all been chasing those Josh Gordon numbers, for however long as well. So nothing is guaranteed in this league. I will remind you, no matter what the quarterback is, but I think this is a very good offense, and the Tyreek Hill situation does, kind of open the door. And I think believing that Tyreek Hill misses half the season, something that I'm getting from the guys who cover the team locally. I don't think the Chiefs are going to let him go, because rightfully so, they feel burned by the whole Kareem Hunt situation. Here they is, they did the right thing. And right. What was their reward for that? Somebody else got their all-pro running back without giving them any constant compensation. So I don't think we're going to see that same approach with Tyreek Hill.
Yeah, from a football perspective, you have to protect yourself, and they can't just keep giving away great players just, for nothing.
Well, they could do the right thing. Wouldn't kill anybody, but I don't think they will. I think they're going to hold on to it.
100%. I mean, for the football team, for the organization, I mean, we'll see what happens, but it'll be surprising if he plays any more than eight games next season, if at all.
Yeah.
Blake, I'm excited for this draft service, buddy. Let's get this started on the FSGN.com. That's where you can find it. Myself, Nate Hamilton, Derek Brown, and, of course, Blake Sullivan going to be handling that. You can get your pre-draft, post-draft, during the draft, and then, of course, we're going to be able to give you advice season-long for a very low price. You can check that out on the FSGN.com. I want to thank Jim Day once again. I want to thank Full Time Fantasy. You can find everything, all your great fantasy football content at fulltimefantasy.com. My name is Steven Taroni. On behalf of Blake Sullivan, this has been the Hot Take Podcast.